Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to GE Power India Limited's earnings conference call for the third quarter of FY 2021-22. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Jain, Managing Director, GE Power India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jain.
Hi, very good evening, everyone, and good afternoon to Amir. Welcome to the investor call today for GE Power India Limited. I am joined today by Mr. Mahesh Palasekar, the Chairman of the Board, by Yogesh Gupta, Whole-time Director and CFO, Vineet Pant, my Chief Commercial Officer, and Amir Munoik, who is the Strategy Head from GE Power, representing the promoter today in the call. What we will do, we have uploaded the deck for your reference. I'm referring to the page two on the agenda. We have a quick update on the safety. I hope everybody has recovered well from the Omicron wave. We will touch very briefly on the performance on safety. We will cover the financial highlights, the highlights of the quarter, and then GEPIL vision, opportunities and readiness, and finally, we'll address some messages from the corporate around the announcements that we have made earlier yesterday and subsequently evening in the press release. That's the agenda on page two. Moving to the page three, I am happy to say that safety has been the topmost priority for the company. The operations are now intact. There was a very small disruption this time from the wave, but there was some disruption with certain quarantine and travel restrictions. The plant is operating to full capacity, a bit more impact from the wave. Our project sites, we have barring about 10%-15% shortage of workers, it's on track. The safety parameters have been pretty good. No fatalities and total hours of 24 million that have been clocked in the company. We are proud to share certain awards that the teams have received in recognition for best-in-class safety performance at sites. Moving to the page four, I want to highlight a few achievements. We are very happy to announce the order which the company booked on the 31st of December from Anuppur. The second highlight, of course, is on execution competence of the company on service repair work. There is some significant achievement on the milestone achievement in NTPC and the NTPC-Dadri on the combustion modification package and turbine and generator work at Himachal for the hydro project. These are some key highlights in the execution for the quarter. The company CSR projects are on track, and we are engaging employees with village support for the tribal villages in Durgapur and 2,000 workers being trained on safety, operational excellence, technical upliftment as a part of skill development program from CIDC, a couple of programs that we are working with our CSR teams. Moving on to the financials, I will ask Vineet to share the progress on the order intake, key opportunities, and how we are faring on the orders. Over to you, Vineet.
Thank you, Prashant. Good evening, everyone. As Prashant mentioned, we had this FGD order we booked on 31st of December. If you look at slide six, you know, we as compared to last quarter of last year, we are about 20% higher on orders. We got this Anuppur order for 1.2 x 600 MW plant. Overall, I would say the FGD ordering has improved in the market. We have seen orders almost 5.4 GW in quarter three, as compared to 2.3 GW in the previous two quarters. Definitely, we see that ordering has improved after some clarity has come on the notification for the plant categorization. This is good news on the FGD front. We have maintained the market share of 22%, you know, for this quarter three overall. On services, yes, there is a drop as compared to the earlier quarter, earlier year. This is because, you know, some of the key upgrade deals, which we were pacing have got deferred because of the outage postponement. But overall, it has been positive from the order side, and FGD market is definitely looking up. Now I go to the next slide, which is slide seven. This talks about the business mix. So we have been, you know, showing this slide to you earlier also. So there are three components: new build versus services, EPC versus non-EPC, government versus private. So new build versus services, on the extreme left, you can see that now because of this FGD order, the mix last year was 100% for the services, but with the FGD order, it is 53% services and 47% new build. So this is more or less in line with what we have projected. EPC versus non-EPC, again, we have in last year it was 100%, it was EP, and this year also it is, we are maintaining that. As far as the split between government and private is concerned, yes, it is our strategy to focus more and more on private customers. Even for FGD, we have seen that now the market is moving towards the IPP. So in you know, maintaining that trend, we have 72% on private and 28% with government customers. So this is all on this slide, and now I would hand over to Yogesh to take us through the slides on the other financials. Thank you.
Thank you, Vinny. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and I will take you through the revenue and the profit. The revenue in Q3, and I'm on slide number 8. The revenue in Q3 has been 7.57 billion, and this has been in the range of the average that we have been having in the last 2 years. And if we look at this quarter, quarter three, out of the three quarters of the current fiscal year, this has been the highest on the revenue front. And whereas if we compare it with the revenue in Q3 of last fiscal year, which was 10.9 billion, was primarily for major supplies happening on our FGD projects of Simhadri, Sipat. So revenue, in spite of the challenges that we had on the FGD side, we have had a significant success on this front. Moving to the backlog, we have a backlog of 39.8 billion INR, and of this, about close to 86% is from our project business, with a healthy margin of continued healthy margin of about 13%. And the remaining is services, which is at almost 22 plus on the margin side. Moving to the next slide, slide number 9, which is profit before tax. In this quarter, we made 462 million worth of losses against a profit of same quarter 3 in FY 2021. The prime reasons have been on account of the restructuring that we had to carry out in Durgapur for the voluntary retirement. This amounted to 522 million INR. The second one, again, I would say a restructuring, was on account of impairment of Shahabad plant and machinery to the extent of 123 million. And there has been like the margin impact of lower sales to the extent of 131 million. And there have been some project cost updates on account of like additional quantity requirement and site issues that we had from erections, etc., that we were carrying out at different sites. So all in all, if we don't consider the restructuring items, we were at 6% margin in the quarter 3, 2021. 21-22, sorry. I hand over to Prashant Jain to take us further. Thank you.
Thank you, Vinit and Yogesh. On the restructuring, I would like to provide a quick update. As we had been planning to optimize the capacity in the Durgapur factory, which was at about 800,000 hours, we are standing to somewhere around 4,500 hours today. And as we know that the new orders have dried in the new build site, from July or towards the end of the year, the factory capacity will be optimized in the order of 200,000 hours. So that would be the large part of the restructuring that we still need to do in the next couple of quarters. Then the service, the workshop will be geared towards service upgrades, and will then will be moving towards a steady state. So that was a brief update on the restructuring activities that we have been doing. It is a painful transition, but this is an adjustment to the market realities that we are facing today. What I wanted to share with you today is about what is it that we are working on in JPL, what excites us, what is the vision and the opportunities that we are chasing from JPL. Moving to page 11, I will come back to this page, but maybe I want to move to page 12. This is the reality that the power sector in India is facing today, where the capacity addition that you see in the dark gray color from the coal plants has significantly reduced over the period of years, and we see renewable capacity getting added to the grid. And this is the reason why we had to adjust the capacity in Durgapur workshop to adjust to this market reality and to address our strategy towards emissions and services. Now, moving to the page 13, where what happens in the next 10 years, it is important to note that today we have about 100 gigawatts of renewable energy in the present level that you see on the left. And that means in 21, about 72% of electricity that is coming into our light bulbs, into the houses, is today coming from coal. As per the CA projections, fast forwarding to 2030, where we will have additional 500 gigawatts being added to the grid. In that case, the relevance of coal-fired power plants will still be about 50% electricity coming from the existing coal-fired power plants to meet the growing power demand of the country. Now, these are the projections from CEA, and we have seen post-COVID capacity utilization of all the core power plants have gone up, and in fact, the customers have postponed their outages because they had to actually had a huge demand to continue to supply power. So we see that this is a huge structural transition which is happening, and this transition towards renewable energy, towards green, is also creating opportunities on the existing coal-fired power plants for emission reduction, which is the FGD program. And I will talk about this a bit more in the coming slides. And it is creating opportunities for making the existing coal-fired power plants more flexible so that they can allow renewable integration to the grid. In future, we anticipate there will be a demand for balancing the grid with synchronous condensers, etc., or alternate methods to stabilize the grid. Those are the opportunities that we see emerging with this energy sector transition that we are talking about in page 13. So all in all, in the next 10 years, we see tremendous potential in the energy transition, where still the coal-fired power plants will have a significant role to play, and JPL will be a significant partner to reduce the emissions and to support the transition that the country has to do towards the future. So having said that, I want to come back to page 11. On page 11, what is it that we do in GE Power India Limited is we enable our customers to achieve energy transition towards sustainable, reliable, affordable, cleaner energy, and that's power and decarbonized future. How do we deliver that today? If you look at our ESG technologies and portfolio, the third bullet is the biggest opportunity that I will talk about in the coming pages is reducing emissions, where there is the big demand for emission technologies, FGDs, as per the government regulations. And there is thousands of crores of opportunity in the market that will be addressed in the next 3 to 5 years. The second area is to support the existing coal-fired power plants by services and upgrades, by efficiency upgrades, flexibility to enable renewable integration. And I also see that due to certain decisions that global organizations are making, an opportunity for JPL to expand outside India to address certain service markets. And that's an opportunity I see is available to JPL, your company. Moving to page 14, I would like to talk about this net zero path that the world has taken, and top three countries have said 2050, 2060, and India has said by 2070 a net zero target. What does that mean for India specifically? When we look at India specifically, We are in a phase today that we still draw 73% electricity from coal. This is our reality that we face today as a country. And therefore, the part A of JPL's plan is to address the installations of the existing coal-fired power plants with AQCS, which is our FGDs, with our SCRs and ESP upgrades, etc., to make sure that we are driving the pollution control and reducing the emissions of the existing coal-fired power plants. And we believe that even if we are able to successfully add 500 gigawatts of renewables by 2030, the coal-fired power plants in India will be relevant for at least 10 more years, and they will need to support the transition from A to B, where we are able to get towards a greener future in the near term. And therefore, your company, GE Power India Limited, is focused on flexibility, efficiency upgrades, renewable integration technologies, and emissions. That is the core technology expertise references in GE Power India Limited, and the transition to B will create certain integration opportunities with the upcoming technologies. So for 5 years, we see a very strong demand on A, and then also a sufficient time period to start focusing on pillars that will take towards the B, and JPL can be a credible bridge to the future for the net zero targets that the country has laid out. Moving to the page 15, the data is speaking for itself that 87 gigawatts of FGDs have been ordered. How many more FGDs will be ordered? About 133 gigawatts. That is what you see on the graph on the left. On the right, what is it that JPL has to offer? We have a technology leadership. We have absorbed technology. I will talk about that in the coming slide. JPL has very strong references in the country with first live installation at NTPC Vidyachal. We are a front runner as JPL in the executing FGD today. We have posted certain progress on the LinkedIn. The teams are doing lean Kaizen at sites and demonstrating good progress in execution. And when I talk about future opportunity pipeline, we have about 67,000 crores of opportunity in the market. And JPL is working towards retaining its strong position to serve this market in FGD. All in all, for the FGD, the JPL is well positioned to support. And second page talks about page 16, services, where there is a 6,500 crore per year market. And transition compliance is an additional opportunity. Upgrades, fuel conversion, flexibility support, renewable integration I talked about. And grid stability needs. These are the opportunities with Fincon that will emerge on top in future. In 3 to 5 years, we see this market will grow with these requirements. And on the right, how is JPL positioned to the technology leadership with strong references and strong pipeline of active projects? As we speak, we have about 1,500 crores worth of pipeline in March that the company is working upon. Is where we are focusing for growth. I wanted to briefly update you on page 18 on where we are with respect to technology absorption and progress. With wet FGD today, your company has 98% local competence in FGD. The entire competence of design, engineering, execution is all local. And your company is the only company, when we look at the top three leading players in the country, which has its own technology, which is absorbed pretty much in the company with IP, of course, from GE, but fully developed competence in the country. Semi-dry FGD, 96%. Now, this 2 to 4% gap will be bridged by next 2 to 3 months, where the company is focusing on commissioning of these projects by when the entire competence is localized. There is an emerging technology on waste-to-energy FGDs, where the technology absorption is at 92%. And the size of the bar is the size of the market opportunities that we are pursuing in the coming years. On the opportunities, therefore, we see 133 gigawatts of FGD market. We'll talk about 2,000 crores of opportunities and emerging market on waste to energy. There is another topic I wanted to share with you with considerations regarding brand. We did check the buying pattern of the customers. We had a discussion with the strategy consultant, PwC Strategy, and to understand what are the top buying criteria from the customer. Since September 2020, since coal exit was announced by GE, and which we had intimated to you all, where SGD is a part of new build coal globally, whereas in India, JPL decided to continue in this area and develop competence. It was important for JPL to assess the competence to ensure that JPL is able to continue to operate in this market. And here, we had asked a survey on the buying pattern of our customers, and the finding is that the top buying criteria is technical competence, past credentials, which are the top two, and the brand is a low priority with less than 5% impact. So JPL has the financial credentials, the references, the technical competence, and is, of course, in deep engagement on the IP with GE, and which I don't see a challenge. I see that this is a market that we would like to pursue from GE. So with that, I would like to pause for a moment, and I would offer to Mahesh, the Chairman of the Board, to make a few comments, and then to Amir to take us through what the recent developments that you would have seen that we have shared yesterday over the course of the day. So with that, Mahesh, over to you.
Thank you, Prashant. Thanks for the update with the latest financials and operational performance. Good evening to everybody. This is Mahesh Palashikar. I lead the Board of Directors as Chairman for GE Power India Limited, and it's my privilege to be here with you, and thanks for investing your time at this discussion. There are important focus areas that Prashant has mentioned that the Board of Directors and the management is driving to continue JPL's evolution and JPL's progress as we look at the future. Yesterday, you have seen that we have shared the letter that we have received from the promoter General Electric Company. And today, what we would like to do, we have Amir, who represents the GE promoter steam power company. And I would invite Amir to share brief thoughts on behalf of the promoter. And then I'll also bring a couple of thoughts that I want to share with you. So Amir, with that, can I please request you to share some of your thoughts?
Thank you, Mahesh, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First, thank you to JPL management team for inviting me as a representative promoter to this meeting. I would like to start by first expressing our full confidence in JPL management team that has been successfully running this company. Secondly, as I'm referring on page 19, I want to assure you as the owners of this company that GE will continue to fully support JPL in this transition. This is going to be a transition that is going to take place over the next 36 months. It has been initiated by our strategic decision in October of 2020 to withdraw from the new unit call, and this is the next phase of that development. In that process, we will continue to strengthen JPL to help it operate independently from GE and to achieve all of its growth plans. That help will consist, but not only be limited, in providing the necessary IP, intellectual property, technology, training of its people, and such, so that the JPL can be successful in its future areas of focus that JPL management team and the JPL board want those to be. So with that, I will give it back to Prashant.
Thank you, Amir, and thank you, Mahesh. With that, I would open up for the questions and Q&A team.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Sanjay Doshi from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Evening team. Thanks for this opportunity. So I'll first restrict to two questions, and both are more strategic, and the announcement which has come yesterday from the parent related to that. So my first question on that aspect is, sir, if you can explain to us the rationale of this intimation which has come of depromotization and reduction in stake in JPL, from a group standpoint of view, where you have already highlighted that in 2 years' time, you would hive off all energy assets into one entity. So does the energy assets which are there in India from a GE group perspective, they are getting the same treatment as which has been given across the globe, whether it is in developed markets or other markets apart from India? So that's my first question. And second related is that how do you intend to take this ahead in terms of de-promotization? Because that involves a lot of complex, I believe you will have to work out on many things. So how do you propose to take this ahead? And this is a long time period of 36 months. So how do investors deal with this uncertainty? Those are the top two questions first.
Hi Sanjay, this is Mahesh. Thank you for taking your time, and I understand the questions. The first question, Sanjay, was around globally. GE has already publicly announced that by early 2024, the energy businesses will become a standalone investment grade independent listed company. And your question was, is it how does that reflect in India? So the specific letter that we are talking about for GE Power India Limited is in continuation with the previous communication that we had, Sanjay, in September 2020, where GE had globally announced about exiting through the new build coal-fired power plants. And now this is further continuation as it evolves over the next 36 months. So I think that is the first clarity. And for the overall energy businesses, which is other than GE Power India Limited, for the overall energy businesses, as I reiterated, the plan is by early 2024, all of GE's energy businesses will be in that independent listed entity. That work has just started, Sanjay, because the company made the global announcement on 9th of November 2021. And now the global leadership and the global energy leaderships are in the process of establishing action plans and establishing systematic steps, which we will achieve. So hopefully, Sanjay, you could hear the thoughts that I shared in terms of the overall global energy. I'm sorry that the call got dropped, but if you need, I can repeat.
So just a follow-up on that part before you please help us with the other question is, so basically it would mean that whichever geographies GE as an energy business had coal-based assets which needs to be serviced, it will all be taken out into a different entity and there will be no overlap. So GE Power India as such, where there will be some similar entity in the global context which have those capabilities, and there will be no overlap between energy assets of GE and JPL kind of a company. Is that true?
Can I please seek a clarification when you say no overlap on the other energy assets?
So if there were coal assets which are based on GE technologies in developed markets or other emerging markets, whether it is Africa, Southeast Asia, even China, and then developed markets, then there will be no servicing of those from GE as an energy business, because that's what you're hiving off in India, right?
Yeah. I understand your question, Sanjay. Amir, could I request you for the team assets,
yes,
which are global?
I have
a question that Sanjay had. I think Amir will be better, Sanjay, to answer that.
The details of the reduction in stake are to be worked out. But what we can say at this point is that JPL will have exclusivity in its domains. And I will leave it at that for the time being. And to answer your second question, the details of how the exit will take place are going to be developed over the next time period. And when we have enough details to come back, I'm sure that JETL board will do so.
Excuse me, Mr. Doshi, may we request you to return to the queue, please?
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Danish Mistry from Investor First Advisor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen, and thank you for taking the time out, and you know, especially the larger team over here to explain the current event. Just taking the question forward from the previous caller, a couple of questions here. Number one is that, you know, in your presentation, you have talked about specifically adding a GE asset and divesting a non-core long cycle asset to enhance JETL's operating performance. So if you could help us understand what are these assets and who will be buying? Is it GE that's going to buy these assets? Is there any value that you would like to kind of ascribe to that? That's question number one. Then I'll come in with question number two, please. Thank you.
Thanks. I would request, Amir, can you take up this one?
Yes. And we will do those things considering the interest of the company, JETL, and the interest of the minority shareholders as well. This is right now an ongoing conversation between GE and JETL. Some of the things that are being considered are a geographical expansion beyond India, where there would be an intellectual property expertise to enable JETL to serve service to power generation equipment beyond India, Southeast Asia, Middle East potentially. That is one of the examples of what is being considered right now.
Got it. And the second part, so if I can add on there, what is the size of that business? And in the second part, we are talking about divesting a non-core long cycle asset. So what is that asset, and is there any value that you'd like to ascribe to that?
These are ongoing conversation right now, and I would rather not comment on the details, as we cannot really talk as this being this is not close to being concluded, so I would rather not speculate on what the shape of the final proposal might be. Again, considering the minority and company interest, will be certainly our priority in these discussions.
I had two questions. The second one is that on the debtors, the NTPC debtors that are there, is there some sense on any visibility on those coming next year?
Yeah, thanks for that. I will quickly respond, and then maybe Yogesh can add. So on the debtors part, these are the retention payments that we have been sharing with you in the past. The NTPC contracts typically come with retention payments. The lot one had 65% retention payments that were to be paid when the milestones were being achieved. So the earlier plan that we had communicated, that JETL will by itself within JETL be cash positive by June, July. Unfortunately, because of the COVID wave two and operational delays, the cash positive situation of JETL will move towards end of the year. So we expect that by end of the year, JETL should turn cash positive. We've had a good collection in the December quarter coming in from NTPC, but as we supplied more services and erection, the retention payments have got added. So these are not due payments because we have just supplied the supplies, but they become due when we do the erection and services. So that's largely the component in the accounts receivable. Yogesh, maybe you can add some details here, please.
Out of the total outstanding that we have with NTPC, the question is specifically on NTPC, almost about 95% is on account of, I would say, retention payments, 94-95%. And the remaining is what is the normal operational dues. And as Prashant mentioned, the last quarter was, I would say, a very good quarter for us on the collection front. And we could reduce almost about 500 million INR worth of like retention payments we could collect from NTPC. So this is, I would say, primarily the contracts that we have. They are responsible, or they are the reason what kind of outstandings we have with NTPC. And in the this coming time, we will be continuing with the trend of liquidating the retention payments as and when we meet the milestones. And we have a constant rigor and focus on achieving these milestones.
Thank you.
Thank you, Yogesh.
We'll take a next question from the line of Renu Baid of IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is on the strategic business which you've mentioned. So what would be the roadmap here by GE Group to reduce its stake? Will it involve a probable merger with other unlisted entities of the steam power business in India, or will it involve bringing some other strategic investors or a strategic partner into JEPIL to help drive the next leg of growth? Or probably, as you mentioned, there would be a third legal entity, a company which would be formed 2 years down the line by early CY24. For global energy business, will we see a transition and that business will hold its stake in India, or probably JEPIL will be completely independent board-run company without any promoter group per se or a majority holder 3 years down the line? And how will that impact its go-to-market positioning and strategy in the Indian market?
Thank you, Renu. I'll take this one. As regards the go-to-market strategy is concerned, since September 2020, when we noted the announcement from GE's intent to exit coal, and GE at that time did mention they would consider the JEPIL as a listed entity and would let enable the JEPIL board to address to the market realities in India. So we have earmarked on a plan to increase competence, which I shared in my presentation before. So there, the go-to-market strategy has been and is currently to make sure that JEPIL is able to independently participate in all the opportunities. So that's the easy one. And I can confirm that, yes, JEPIL is actively working to ensure it has what it needs to be able to go to market already today. And the FGD order that was finalized in the last quarter in December, again, was on JEPIL's own merit with no DJU or any other requirements from the headquarters. So this is one step that we have been taking to protect the biggest chunk of the market in FGD, and we are pretty confident and successful. On the service market, we have been, JEPIL has been having that lead and is qualified in most of the tenders, and JEPIL is bidding and taking the lead. On the clean combustion, where Durgapur is repositioning as the supplier. Now, as regards the turbine upgrades, there is an interdependency today from JEPCPL. And yes, we are working with a proposal to ensure that we have business continuity and we have a continuity of service that ensures that JEPIL will be able to continue to focus in this market for the coming years. And that is what we are working to ensure that business is continuous, and it's an important part of the growth strategy, and that is being worked upon with good collaboration. So that part is what I can share. On the earlier part of the question, as Amir and Mahesh have clarified earlier, Renu, that it's a staggered plan over the next 3 years. And at this point in time, the board will have to engage as well with the promoters, and we will come back to you with a timeline and a better strategy, and we'll come back to you shortly with that. And I guess we'll very quickly share the timeline as well with you for that. But the business continuity, I can again confirm, Renu, that we are pretty much on track on business continuity in the strong business pillar that we see today.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Ashna Manakthala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. So first question is in the order outlook. So like you mentioned that now FGD order outlook is looking up. So currently, what is the amount of orders that we have in our pipeline for the coming quarter?
Also, I'm sorry, Ashna, we're not able to hear you clearly. If you're on a speaker mode, can you switch it to handset, please?
Yeah, sure. Is it better now?
A little better.
Yeah. So my first question is in the terms of order outlook. So as you mentioned that FGD order outlook is now looking up. So currently, what is the amount of orders that we have in the pipeline for the coming two quarters? And if you could also share some light on the services order outlook.
So on the FGD, what I can share with you is the opportunity pipeline 67,000 crores, as I mentioned on page 15. And the company is focused to retain its market share. What will change? I did mention in one of my previous earning call the split between the state, the NTPC, the central and the private. As you know, mostly all the central projects have been completed, ordered. Now it is the state and the private utilities that will go into the ordering. So from the 67,000 crores, will they participate in 100% of that market? The answer is no. We have selected about 6 to 7 priority states that which we will work upon. And we have also chosen a model of EP and EPC to de-risk the company. As a trend, that is what we are monitoring now since last 1 year, to de-risk the portfolio, because the working capital consumption to execute this FGD project is what we are seeing today, to optimize that. So those are the two things that we have changed in our strategy to address these opportunities. So with that, I would say, if I have to say the share, we will retain the same share, but we will take EPC exposure to all these projects. There we will be selective. So that's the guidance I can share with you now. And as we book the orders, we will be very happy to share with you. Coming to the services area, what we have announced earlier is we are focusing on increasing our market share. When we initiated the service strategy, from the market that we roughly see of 6,500 crores per year, we were in an order of magnitude of less than 3%. And today I can say that we are, and the goal is to go more than 15%. And today I can say we are hovering around 9 to 10% market share. Maybe Vineet, if you want, you can add there, but this is the order of magnitude that we are seeing in terms of services, the business growing. What we have done in the service strategy is there are two elements to services. One is the core services, the other is upgrade. And in upgrades, we see volatility that you saw in the last quarter as well. We've had some big upgrade tickets to be finalized, but because of the outage schedule of the customer, then they were postponed. That has a high volatility. So the strategy is to stabilize the core services and grow in that. And we have strengthened our ability to get a stable core services order. And the upgrades is where we are now working towards getting more predictability and more granularity. That is an area that we are working upon. So that is what I can share today with you in terms of guidance. The numbers are there to see market shares have given you an impact. And orders as we book, definitely we will share with all the shareholders via the notifications.
So Prashant, I would just like to add that, you know, yes, as you mentioned, and we have a very healthy pipeline going forward, you know, for both FGD services, core and upgrades, you know, and as you mentioned, you know, the ordering for FGD is picking up. So obviously it's also going to help us going forward.
Yeah, it's about the closure and getting the down payment and then closing and booking the system at times. It takes to do that, the movement across quarters, but the pipeline is robust. Thank you for that, Vineet.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. So just one more question. As our gross margins have been impacted in this quarter, so for the coming couple of quarters, can we expect the gross margin to be in the 22-23% range?
So on the gross margin, Yogesh will add. What I can share with you is the backlog that we have mentioned on the page of 3,900 odd crores. The mix that Yogesh mentioned in percentage of projects versus services, the mix of gross margin or CCM levels is about 23% in services and about 13% in the project. That's the general mix on the gross margin. Now, we also disclosed earlier that we have certain ESP projects which are at zero margin. So when we do that revenue, they don't come with associated margin, and there is still sizable amount that does contribute to the gross margin movement per quarter, depending on if you have a mix of more ESP versus FGD or the boiler revenue that we have in the portfolio. So Yogesh, maybe you want to add here?
I think, Prashant, you have given the full details on this. So overall, we would be on what Prashant has shared and what I also mentioned in the presentation, that we are looking at about 13% on the order backlog coming from projects, which constitutes about 85%-86% of our total volumes and total order backlog of 3,900 crores. And the remaining on the services side is 12%-13%, which will be at close to 20%-23%. So we are on the similar lines on this for the future gross margins.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Sanjay Doshi from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. First question is to our chairman. Sir, the press release which came yesterday to the stock exchanges did mention that the company is examining the implications of the aforesaid letter. So do we expect a more detailed evaluation and communication from the board to the authorities?
Yeah. Sanjay, thanks for the question. There are a couple of important things we would like to share with all the shareholders. Since we received the September 2020 communication, obviously, this has been a focus, and we have been focused with the management team and the board of directors to look at how do we continue JFL's growth. And that continues to be a very top priority. I want to reassure on behalf of the board of directors and behalf of the management that this is something that we are investing a lot of quality time, and we are giving a lot of attention to develop these solutions. The second important point is, as you have seen probably from the letter that we have received from the promoter, is there is a very strong commitment from the global promoter to make JFL successful for achieving its long-term growth. So fortunately, we also have strong commitment from the promoter. The board of directors has had several discussions. We continue those discussions with the management team. Prashant Jain, Yogesh Gupta, and the management team is working on a lot of the ideas that we mentioned. So we will need some time, Sanjay. I don't think we are today in a position, and that is why we have very transparently shared with the shareholders that we are now considering the 36-month timeline that promoter has mentioned us. There are also areas that we will secure to protect JFL's independence so that JFL can grow and flourish going into the future. I would request that please allow us some time as the management team and board looks at this letter only came yesterday. As the management team and board looks at it and as we go through the evolution of our actions, we will certainly come back to the shareholders at an appropriate time, Sanjay.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Abhishek Poddar from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, sorry to ask this question again, but the word mentioned is depromoterized. So should we assume that the strategic sale options are not open or they are still open and everything is open, so you will consider whatever best option comes in?
Hey, Amir, will you take this question?
Yes, we will consider all the options as a shareholder, keeping the interest of the minority shareholders and company in mind. So no option for the path towards depromoterization is closed. All of these options continue to be opened, evaluated, and in cooperation with the JFL board, the right decisions will be made.
Okay, thanks. So second question, sir, regarding the IPR transfer that is happening. So trying to understand that, how the R&D support is happening at present from the GE Global. And how does this one-time RPR transfer affects your ability to keep up to date with the new technologies and all, in terms of, you know, how much update you keep on getting every year from the GE Global in terms of new technologies? And does it affect your ability to further innovate and bring new products?
Thank you for this question. This excites the engineering team locally. There is a strong level of competence. We have about 1,000-odd engineers today in the company, and several of them engineers have been working earlier on in certain global capacities as a part of a global organization with deep competence. So in the last 1 year, what we have done in technology upgradations is what I've already shared earlier on the pages. On the R&D part, this year, while we have increased, or for the first time improved, we call it as an R&D program, to continue on certain projects locally. So today the teams were operating as a part of globally, but we have kind of improved competence. There are about 28, we need, maybe if you have the number ready, on the NPI programs that now we have initiated last month as a part of our competence development.
Yeah, Prashant, I don't have the numbers readily. But,
so yeah, so about 18 or programs we have, about 18 programs, I have to check the exact number, but about 18 programs we've launched already this year. And Yogesh, the number was what in terms of the dollar, $1.38 million roughly?
You have is exactly $1.38 million.
Yeah, so that's the amount that we have started with already. On the technologies that we believe are critical for Chapel to continue to invest. Earlier, these programs were managed globally, but these experts have been working in a very good global environment from India. And in my view, this will continue, where Chapel will take ownership with support from GE on technology transfer development and engage as required to ensure that we have this competence going forward. Amir, if you may want to add.
I think, Prashant, you have covered everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Deepak Narnolia from Birla Sun Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Yeah, I have two questions. One is a housekeeping question regarding this your restructuring cost and the margin guidance you have given this 12-13% for gross margin guidance, 12-13% for the FGD project business, and 23% for the services. So I just wanted to know that for the future projects, you will be bidding the same kind of gross margins in the both the businesses. And second question is about this competence development, sir. You explained it, but I just wanted further clarity on that. Practically, you are saying that right now you are developing your competency in India. So you already had engineers working with the global team and in global operations. So you already have those skilled people, and further, right now you are developing the competency further ahead, and GE is helping you globally by some you know, experts or something. They are training you people, or how you are developing this competency?
Yeah, so the first one, I can say that the margins on the projects is competitive, you know, that we have competition as well. And we will definitely do what is required to be competitive at the same time, win accretive orders with margin and cash accretive profile. That's all I can say. And as regards the backlog, I want to correct your statement. What we have said is an aggregate margin on all projects that includes the portfolio and all services that includes the portfolio and not specific for a product line. So that's on the part number one. Part number two, on the engineering, yes, we have a mix of experts sitting in the country who were earlier engaged with the global teams. And therefore, the technology support that is required from certain global experts, that that program is in place, and there is some interdependency on certain expert areas, and that percentage of readiness I have mentioned in the pages that I've shared with you. At the cost of repetition, we are well positioned for the key market segment, which is FGD, with 98% and 97% on the semi-dry FGD, with very strong, deep local competence. And in fact, these teams were a part of the global team as the global headquarters for this product line was as well in the past in India. So very strong local competence in the clean combustion side is what I can confirm to you. On the services, yes, there is a mix of local competence in India and the headquarters, and that's a good mix, and there is a very good collaboration as I mentioned earlier, and there is a commitment from the promoter that you have heard in supporting JPL in its independence in terms of achieving this competence.
And Prashant, just to add, the customers in India for the FGD, the last order we booked is completely with local competence, and customers have accepted that JPL is taking the lead, and the order complete, everything is done from by JPL only.
Thank you so much, Vinatika. Thanks for confirmation.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Utkarsh Samaya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
My question is answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Ashit Koti, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. This is in regards to can GPIL become a lead company taking over all the business and assets of GE's coal base or this particular line of activity and become a main company, promoting company with a professional management? Is that possible?
So it's a very interesting question. So what I can say is that yes, the team, the leadership in GE Power India Limited is committed to step up and own technology, and this excites the opportunity to be able to shape the future of energy transition towards the net zero 2050, 2070 for the country is an exciting energy disruption and transition. And the teams here are excited to learn skills, develop skills, add skills in this area and address to the market realities. Now, the technologies for doing so, if I may refer to my slide where I mentioned the bridge on A to B for the net zero transition, the A is the FGD and services. Here we have the interdependency on license technology and geography from GE. And here, yes, we have certain ideas on the opportunities for expansion beyond India and taking lead and getting more business outside India. So that's on A for sure. Now, when it comes to B, there will be additional opportunities that we will encounter as we embark on the journey, but it's too early to talk about that. But for sure, the teams are excited to upskill and shape the future towards a greener energy. Absolutely excited about that.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Survi Saraogi from Smith Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Okay. Sir, my question is more of a clarification regarding the gross margin guidance that you have given. Sir, what I have understood is that out of your backlog of 3,900 crore rupees, 85% is projects and 12% is services. Is that a correct understanding?
So yeah, first I want to say it's not a guidance, it's the fact on the current backlog today.
Okay.
On the project portfolio and the it is not the guidance, it is the current status on the backlog. So
okay.
That yes is what it is today, and that we can confirm. And now these projects, as you know, include certain projects that have been booked. These are live and active, but have been booked probably 5 to 10 years ago as well. And as these projects we will execute, those projects will unfold. So when you look at the period of time for the revenue, I think it is not easy to take a guidance from the backlog for margin, because in service, there is also an element of book-to-bill business where certain amount of orders that are booked in the current year are executed, whereas there is an element of long time lag in the project business. So I would be careful in not taking that as the guidance, but to take that as the status of the backlog That would be my submission.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ashit Koti, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, does it mean that this coal-based business is a sunset business and maybe available with the company for next, maybe 15 to 20 years?
Maybe your voice was not clear. Can you please repeat the business, the question?
The question is, this coal-based power plants and services, would it be a sunset industry and business availability would be maybe for next 10 to 15 years?
Yeah, I think I would be careful in not defining that as a sunset business, because if you refer to the slide on the long-term net zero plans up to 2070, today we have about 200 gigawatts of fossil power. And in 200 gigawatts of fossil power, by 2030, the grid will add roughly about 500 gigawatts of renewable energy. Without storage, the capacity that might be required in renewable energy to make this coal industry a sunset probably would be in the order of magnitude, without storage, would be in the order of magnitude of 1200 gigawatt plus. And in that time, when we reach that capacity of 500, 700 gigawatt without storage, I think even then I would be careful in saying it's a sunset industry. So that is why I am careful. And we have seen in the last couple of months, the PLF of all the existing plants have gone up, because we see on the demands which the CA has projected until 2030, there will be still significant demand coming from coal assets. So I'm not so sure. It's a niche industry. Yes, maybe I can say it's a niche industry. Yeah, it will become niche.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Deepak Potar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Yes, sir, Mr. Potar.
Sir, I just wanted to understand, like, in terms of EBITDA margin front, now we saw a decline. It might be because of raw material or maybe because of the product mix. So how do you see that normalizing in terms of EBITDA margin? So what is the time period or by when we can see the normalization of your margins?
Yes, so I think there are two things. One is the operational and strategic part. On the strategic part, we still have restructuring, which will continue for at least a few more quarters, as I mentioned earlier. And on the future margins, normally we are not we avoid from giving guidance on the future margin. Maybe if Yogesh, you may want to add any further comments.
Mr. Padar, as Prashant clarified, we don't give future guidances, and we have shared where do we stand vis-a-vis the restructuring aspect as we stand today, and the operations. And I indicated that on the operation side, the margins were reasonable, comparable to the earlier quarters.
Right. And in terms of gross margin, you mentioned on services we have 23% gross margin, and project side we have 13%, right?
These are, as Prashant clarified, these should not be considered or tantamounted to any guidance. Mm-hmm. These are how the orders have been booked. And as Prashant clarified, that these orders, especially on the project side, the execution cycle is ranging from 5 to 10 years. And to then see to it that everything is executed as booked, is you can understand very well the challenges.
Yeah, I understood. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the floor back to Mr. Prashant Jain for closing comments.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I deeply appreciate the confidence laid by you in the company, in the management. The 1,000-odd employees are looking forward excitedly to the energy transition towards net zero and to bring in the emission reduction, which is a very important aspect to the societies. And we are working and engaging to ensure business continuity, as we have mentioned. And we will come back to you with an update on the strategy as soon as we have. So thank you so much for your time, and we will talk to you soon. Have a good evening. Thank you, team from GE, for the support.
Thank you, members of management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of GE Power India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.